are glad you're here this morning. We welcome you. Good crowd in here. Looked like a good crowd outside. And I noticed some of you came from the back and came back up here. So I guess there's a few folks in the back also, too. But we're sorry this morning. Everything was running. You know how the devil tries to work, but he's not going to defeat us. We got the Lord blessed us and got a storm out of here. So he had to figure out something else to do. So our everything sound was working good last night. And we ran all the tests. Everything was just perfect. And boy, this morning, it's not so perfect. So I'm hoping at least you guys inside are going to hear me, because I told Brother Paul, somebody said, I think it was Rick, no, somebody said, you got a loud enough voice. You got, what he was saying is, you got a big enough mouth. So you're not going to miss any preaching. If I have to, I'll come down in the middle and preach on a stump right in the middle there, and you'll hear me just fine preaching. But we'll try to get some of the music to you just right this morning. So pray for Miss Sharon. She's going to sing for us today, and she's going to have to deal with whatever we throw her. Could be a cappella, Miss Sharon. Just get up here and sing it. We'll hear you. We'll be glad. Speaking of Sharon's, glad to have Miss Sharon Meeks with you. Sharon, good to see you over there. I don't think you've lost your edge at all. And it sounds so good. Doesn't it sound good? I mean, you know, we can pipe in all kinds of music. We're going to have her come back out. I wish she'd just come all the time. That'd be great, but we're going to have her come and make some more of that CD stuff for us. So we've about used everything up, haven't we, Shorty? I mean, we go over them and over them again. But we're glad you're here. We welcome you today. Good to see a good number in here, and I know a good number outside and in the back. We're just happy to have you. And we're always blessed. We count our blessings what? One by one. We count our blessings one by one, or many blessings. And today's a blessing. We had a storm just going to blow off the coast there. That's good. Nobody getting too much trouble. And that's a great thing. But we're glad you're here. And Brother Glenn, I think you got a guest with us this morning. Good to have you all with us today. I'm glad you got to bring them over today. And things. Miss Linda and Buddy are out of town, and they're at the beach, but they're at the west one, so they're okay. But we're glad to have you. For our guests, we welcome you. Look at the opportunities to serve, things that are happening going on. If you can, please send your children, grandchildren, neighbors, kids, whoever you can get to be back here a little before 6. You might want to line up just a tad early. But we have 100 big, nice school bags prepared for you, loaded with all kinds of great things to help the kids. And they are going back to school. You do know that, don't you? That they are going back to school as far as one way or the other. And most likely in Florida, they will eventually probably go back and stuff. But they need those school supplies, so we'll have those available. Rain, it don't matter. If rain's coming down, you're fine. If the wind is strong enough to blow your car over, don't come. But if the wind is not strong enough to blow you off the road or blow your car over, come on. Because be a few of us out there trying to stand up in the rain or whatever it might be. It may not even be nothing this afternoon, so... Make sure you get folks back here. I'd like to see 100 bags gone before dark tonight. And if you don't come get them, I've got to get out in the neighborhood and start passing them out. So we're going to get rid of those 100 bags, school bags. So if you know of somebody that's really in need that could really use them, we want to especially help those who need help. And things. And I know it's a help to everybody, but if you have that extra person, please let us know. But just remember the opportunities to serve and all the blessings that God gives us. And Shorty said at Calvary, that's where we're going to be the next two Sundays, today and the next two Sundays at Calvary, and going to be preaching on Calvary and preaching on the cross and what took place there. So I hope you'll be a part of that. Also, something very good to share with you. How many of you know what Amazon is? Okay, most of you. It's a jungle over in, what, South, is that South America or somewhere there? It's a jungle. That's what it is, Amazon is. But there is a company called Amazon. I'm sure you all been on it or looked at it. Anyhow, but if you go on Amazon, how many of you do e-books? Anybody besides my wife? I know some others. Okay, you do e-books. You read your books now on Kindle or something other, whatever you got. But anyhow, you can go on there to Amazon e-books. And Miss Loretta is so happy and so pleased today to share the fact that her late husband, Brother George, wrote his last book, and their son Greg got it published. And right now it's on ebook, and then it'll be coming out in paperback form. But go on to ebook, Amazon. You can look up George Calfinger and find all his little books. But the new one is Devoted Prayer. Brand new, Devoted Prayer. So for you guys who like to read, it talks about the great power that we have in prayer. Devoted prayer, when we really pray, things happen. It always does. But when we're devoted to prayer, it works. Always does. So remember that. So Brother George, I told Miss Loretta, Brother George is speaking to us from beyond, you know, being able to still speak to us and hear his sweet word. So remember that, write that down, look that up. You're just sitting around doing nothing anyhow, aren't you? I mean, this pandemic going on, what's the rule? Stay at home, is that what it is? What's the rule? Stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. So while you're staying at home, get that reading in. But look at those opportunities to serve. And remember those many opportunities. Remember those that continue to lift those families up in prayer that's lost loved ones, especially Miss Gladys Taylor and her family and things. They're still waiting to do a graveside service for her son Benton, but just keep them in your prayer. Miss Gladys is here today. She's outside, but she is here today. Remember those families. Remember each other. Some that'll be having some surgeries this week. Gary Fuller, remember Gary, on Thursday, he's going to be having a procedure done. And I know there's others going to be having things. Greg's looking for another surgery. And so just remember those and each other. Father, thank you for the day, and thank you for the wonderful opportunity that we have to come into thy house this morning. And my mind goes back a couple years, maybe three, on a Sunday morning, when Hurricane Irma was coming this way. And I'll never forget that Sunday morning. We started out, and boy, it began to rain real hard, and all of a sudden phones went off like crazy in the service, and there was tornado warnings in our area, and boy, that day just continued and into the night, and even with the storm going right over top of us, Lord, you took care of us. And we always think, Father, about that beautiful, that old song, till the storm passes by. It seems like there's always a storm somewhere in our lives. And it comes in different ways. Father, it comes through sickness. And comes through things like this pandemic. It comes through troubles and trials. It comes through struggles. It comes through emotional dismay and spiritual dismay and physical dismay. And Father, it comes through grief and death and many things in our lives. We know those storms, they come. But Father, we're so grateful that we trust in you. And Lord, through that devoted prayer and through seeking your face, that Lord, you are with us till the storm passes by. We love you and we thank you for all that. And we praise you for your help and your guidance. And I pray your hand will continue to be on the many storms of life. Father, thank you for this time together today. We ask thy blessings upon our time together. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, for all that he means to us and will always mean to us. We lift him high And Lord, we worship you this morning. So we just thank you for your many blessings. Pray thy blessings, Lord. Help us with our nation today. Help our leaders. Lord, once again, would you please take that opportunity to use America, Father, to use us, Lord, to be a benefit to all the other nations of the world. And, Father, to be used in your hands. We are just clay, and we want to be used in the potter's hands. Thank you for the day, and thank you for our offering today. Thank you for everyone that is here. We ask your blessings on it in Christ's name. Amen.
We invite you to find your insert in there, the old rugged cross, the old rugged cross. Are you ready? Here we go. Singing, thank you, Miss Sharon. Man, that was music in my ears. I mean, it's just so easy to when she's playing right nearby. You know, if you make a mistake, she can make it look like you planned it that way. Thank you, Miss Sharon. Miss Sharon, now another Miss Sharon. Come on, dear. Sharon, where are you at? Sharon Thompson, there in the back. You scared me. I couldn't find you. I thought you might have left. We're having so much trouble, but. You know, there's a lot. You got to be that. I was saying a while ago, when there wasn't nothing work about the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is long suffering, gentleness. And you got to be patient there. Have faith. We're going to do it anyhow. I love your song.
I tell you what, we're blessed today, and Satan really tried to put a monkey wrench in it. So if I goof this song up big time, I'm singing for him.
Amen.
Thank you.
go. It's not complicated, don't need a lot of rules. This is all you need to know. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other. And the story never ends. We tend to make it harder, build steeples out of stone, fill books with explanations of our way. But if we'd stop and listen and break a little bread, this is all you need to know. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other. And the story never ends. Loving God, loving each other, making music with my friends. Loving God, loving each other.
One of my favorite songs. Love that song. Thank you, Miss Sharon. You did a beautiful job with that. I thought the Gaither Vocal Band was up here. You're much prettier than those guys. So good job. Appreciate it. Turn with me your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 27. Be looking at 33 through 36 as our scripture. Like I said, for today and the next two Sundays, I want to bring you three sermons on three different sets of threes that took place at Calvary. Three different sets of threes, the three crowds, the three crosses, and the three cries that came from there. They tell us that there are three things that you can't do. At the end of the message, I'll tell you three things that God can't do, leading into our invitation. But they say there's three things that you can't do. And I can't do, and there's a lot more than three, but this is three of those. Wash your eyes with soap. That's just a hard one to do. You ever try to wash your eyes with soap? I've got soap in my eyes many times, but I've never tried to wash my eyes with soap. Count the hairs on your head. Now, I know that should be easier for me than for some of you, but you cannot even count the hairs on your head. Breathe through your nose only with your tongue out. Breathe through your nose with your tongue sticking out. Many of you just tried that number three, and that is possible. Did you find it possible? Did you go ahead and try it? Breathe through your nose with your tongue hanging out. Yeah, it's possible. You just look like a dog. Yep, you look like a dog. You know. Yeah, it is possible. But this morning we're going to do three things. Let's talk about the three crowds at Calvary. Now, I know you've never thought about this, but have you ever thought that you were a part of the in crowd? And most of the time you're going to say, no, I never was part of the in crowd. But you answered that wrong. Because, yes, you have been a part of the in crowd. And most likely, you've been a part of the in crowd all your life. We think maybe we're not a part of the in crowd. And before you really answer that, think about life. And like many of you, I never thought of myself as being part of the in crowd. And I fit in most of the time as an outsider. Today is 10 years I've been your pastor today. 10 years ago exactly. 10 years ago exactly today, I came and officially became your pastor. I think I was your pastor about a month before that because we were doing duties for Green Pond and doing duties for Mays Lick during the month of July, and then officially cut off. Well, I didn't really cut off Mays Lick. I think I kept them on my apron strings for about another 2 years after coming here. But still yet, it's hard for me to sometimes think, am I part of the in crowd as far as Florida? And I can't really say that I am because I'm, some of you that are true Floridians, crackers, whatever you want to call yourself, you figure you're part of that and you think you've got the edge on it. And if you're not careful, you treat others, you know, like you're in the in crowd. Well, I was born and raised here. Everybody else is outsiders. Everybody else, you know, come in here from the north or, well, you had to come from the north. You can't come from anywhere else, you know, get into Florida as far as the continental United States. But, there's times, most of the times, that we might feel that we are outsiders and not part of the in crowd. And being from the hills and hollers of eastern Kentucky, we've always been looked down upon. In crowd, you got to be kidding. You know, you folks don't wear shoes. You folks chew tobacco. There's nothing wrong with chewing tobacco. My grandmother did. I think both my grandmothers chewed tobacco. And things just make you, you know, did you hear me? Well, nothing wrong with chewing tobacco. They did it or whatever. But, you know, it might have its side effects. Drink moonshine whiskey. I better not go there. Marry your cousins, and on and on. Well, yeah, you marry your cousins because that's the only folks you can find. My grandparents again. We just got sound. My grandparents again, they were like third cousins or something like that. So, you know, are you kidding? The only thing we are in the in crowd in Kentucky is we have the world's finest racehorses and the world's finest college basketball. So we may not be a part of the in crowd, and even as dumb as people think we are, and we hillbillies are in Kentucky, we were smart enough to believe that Jesus is the only way. You're wanting to turn this down. Is that what you're wanting to do? That's what I figured. How did that thing just come alive? It just came alive? Am I up there? I don't think so. Better put me back in there. It may just come and go, so we'll try to live with it. But a lot of times they always thought we were smarter, you know, than we always can be smarter than you think we are. And we are smart enough to believe in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to get to heaven but by Him. But, you know, I had a real smart, Karen, I had this real smart, elderly cousin that lived in Indiana. And Indiana folks, you and Miss Loretta there, Indiana folks always kind of look down their noses just a little bit at people from Kentucky and realizing most of them came from Kentucky to get to Indiana in the first place. But anyhow, I had that cousin, and she always thought she's about 2 or 3 months older than me. She's been here. She always thought she was smarter than I was. We're both the only ones. We're the first two to ever get a college education in our family. And I stayed up with her. She's a nurse. I'm a preacher. They always thought they were smarter. She told my brother that Kentucky ranked 45th in education in America. 45th on the bottom of that. We're on the bottom there. 45th in education. My brother said, oh, yeah, out of how many? Well, we may not be that dumb or that foolish, but I know that I should not be a person that's part of the in crowd. But I want to talk about the crowds this morning. And the crowd, you've always been taught about the company you keep, right? We've always been taught about the crowds we'd run with. And those crowds can make a difference. We see that here in the Bible. Look here in Matthew chapter 27. If you begin there in verse 33. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, Calvary, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, that he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, if you notice there that the word they, talking about the groups, the crowd, they, plural, not him, not her, but they. Talking about the crowds. And there's 28 times in that one chapter right there. Chapter 27, there's 28 times the word they is used. So there was a lot of crowds. There was a lot of different people there. And the first crowd is that sympathy crowd. And these are those who stood by with tears in their eyes. They were sobbing. They were saying, why? Oh, why are they killing Jesus? What did he ever do to them? He has hurt no one. He's always helped. What's wrong? You know, what has he done? There was that sobbing group. And this is always the way it is with sympathetic crowds. They always stand by and boo-hoo, hoo-hoo over everything. But that is all that they did. It's all right to be sympathetic. It's all right to cry over things, the right things. But listen, that's all they did. They were just sympathetic. They didn't try to defend him. They didn't stand up to defend him. They didn't cry to Pilate to release him. You remember? They said, release who? Release Barabbas. They didn't say release Jesus. Oh, they were crying that Jesus was being crucified and all these horrible things were happening to him, but they did nothing about it. You can't tell me you're sympathetic when you don't do anything about it. You can't even say that you have a sympathetic cause. We think today we have a lot of sympathetic causes that we stand for, but if we don't do anything about it, we keep our mouth shut, we don't stand up, we don't be a part of it, then we are not sympathetic. We just go along with it. We accept it for what it is. We say it's okay. And that's what they did when they were crucifying Jesus. Remember, they could not find anything wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. Pilate said, I can't find anything wrong with him. He's not did any wrong whatsoever. Does that sound a whole lot like our court system today and things going on? They ain't nothing wrong with these folks, but we're going to blame them for everything. Well, that's the way it was with Jesus. He didn't do nothing. There was nothing they could find to really, they had to trump up charges on him, bring up these charges, and the crowd is like that today. When Jesus gave the parable of the sower and the seed, the problem was not in the harvest, was it? The harvest was plenteous. The problem was in the workers, people that will go out, witness every day, do something about the problem. Now, we know what the problem is today with the world. The problem is sin. We all agree with that, amen? The problem is sin. Now, you can give it other names. You can label it however you want to. But the problem with the world today is sin. Sin is destroying us. But if we don't go out and do something about sin and about the sinner that is sinning, which we're a part of that, we're all sinners, saved by grace, some of us. Some of us are just still sinners and dying in our sin. And they sometimes and cry out how terrible things are. And they're all in favor of the Word of God. You know, oh yeah, preacher, I think we need to preach the Word. But they never lift a finger to help. They just stand by and cry and boo-hoo. Look at the world, how bad the world is, preacher. Look at what's happening out there. And oh, it's so sad for our children and so sad for our society today. And then not do nothing about it. That's this crowd. That's the crowd, one of the crowds that was there. They were the sympathetic crowd. There's people who, you know, oh, now I've not heard it. You all been wonderful. Don't get me wrong. You all have been wonderful. Pastor could not ask for anything better. You all been wonderful through this pandemic, through the mess we're in, through the ways we've had to do church. And we've just, folks, let me be honest with you. We've just tried to do our best. We have just tried to do our best through this. The very best that we can to get us through and to have services and things. And like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is you, but because you never have. I've not heard anybody come up and say, well, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with you, but we need to get back to having Sunday school. Why ain't we having Sunday school? We need to be having Sunday school and things. Or, you know, we need to get back to Sunday nights, or we need to have certain Bible studies. We need to get back to this. You've not been doing that. You've not said that. I know you've been, you've had a heart like me. You're wanting to get back. You can't wait to get back. But listen to me. You don't want to ever have somebody say, preacher, we want to have Sunday school again. And that's the person who never came in the first place. Oh, boy, that hit a nerve, wasn't it? Oh, we would love to have. And don't even dare to say, boy, we got to have that Sunday night service back. Well, Buck, how many hundreds of people did we have here on Sunday nights? You remember any Sunday nights we've had 100 people? I don't remember any Sunday nights we've had 100 people and stuff. So just long as it ain't none of those sympathetic crowds that say, oh, we would love this, and we're sad we can't have it, but no, we're not going. Okay, let me get on. The anti-crowd, number two, the anti-crowd. And you know there are a lot of anti-crowds today, anti-history, anti-police of all things, those who are anti-Christ, anti-Christians. And that means, anti means to be in total dislike. And they're in total opposition to Jesus Christ. Those who are anti-Christ, total opposition to Jesus Christ and his ministry. This is a crowd who shouted to Pilate, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The crowd wanted Jesus to die. He was a threat to them. Let me tell you, we are a threat to society today. Christians are a threat. That's why they'd like to get rid of us. And you know why? Because we make them uncomfortable. Preachers preaching the word and you folks coming and listening to that word and following that word and believing that word is a threat to people out there. Lots of people out there. People who, oh, you can't preach that. Yes, it's in the Bible. I can preach that. I'm a preacher. I'm a Bible preaching preacher. And I preach the whole counsel of God. I don't preach half the counsel of God or part of it. I preach all of it. If you don't preach all of it, don't preach any of it. If you don't believe all of it, you know what that means? If you don't believe all of it, you don't believe any of it. That's a simply, I mean, I can be rough, I can be tough with you, but that's just the Word of God. That you, your husband would say amen to that. Say, you got that one right, preacher. You preach the Word and you preach what the Word is. You don't back down, you don't back off. You don't make it, you know, oh, if I could just make this a little easier on you. But see, we have a lot of anti-crowd out there. Why in the world would they be anti-police? I can't get that. Why would you be anti-police? You got to have police. You got to have law and order. Well, exactly. That's the reason. They don't want law and order. They don't want to be told what to do and when they do and so forth. You know, just do as you please. Anti is against. That's what that word means. To be anti is against. Well, they were much against Jesus. You know that. Jesus lived, 33 and a half years on this earth. And boy, they hated him. They hated him. And they became to hate him even greater as he started preaching and talking about his Father, God, and how he and God were one together, and how he was going to save this untoward generation, how he was going to come back one day, and he was going to usher in his kingdom. And well, they didn't want another kingdom. And guess what, Brother Paul? You know that one of the strongest bunches against him was the religious leaders. The religious leaders was his biggest problem. People who should have been on his side. Oh no, they wasn't on his side. He's going to take away their jobs. You know, there'd be no need for them priests anymore when you got the high priest himself, Jesus Christ. Why do you need them? You don't need them. You don't need their sacrifices. You don't need their offerings. You don't need to do all those temple things they were doing. Well, he was a great, great threat to those individuals. And Jesus' crucifixion was public for everybody to see. This crowd is with us today. This is a crowd that wants to take Christ and Christianity out of everything. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Years ago, when we took Christ and we took Christianity out of our schools, you see what we got today in the world we live in. When you take prayer out of schools, when you take Christ out of schools, when you take God out of anything, now we're trying our best, and I say we because sometimes we're going along with it, we are trying our best to take God out of this country. Take him out of this country, have no part of it. I could care less, about this or that or the other. They're tearing down our Christian monuments, banning prayer in the name of Jesus because it offends somebody. Let me tell you something. There's many things that offends me today. A lot of things offend me. Why can't I be just as strong as anybody else? If it's offensive to me, it's offensive to me, the things that are going on. And they want to keep the gospel from the radio and the airways and off our TV station. They hate Christianity. It's teaching so much that they want to eradicate it completely. And listen, let me tell you, they have taken prayer and even the mention of Jesus out of our schools, out of our societies. I even heard, I am glad that at least for a little bit, the city of Lakeland still sends me an invitation every great while to come pray at their council meetings. They're still sending. Now that may quit before too long, because that has ceased in a lot of official places. But they still, I just got a letter last week, Pastor, could you come and pray over one of our meetings and things like that. So it's not everywhere, but it sure is in a lot of places. There's a lot of people that are anti-God. Now, I just stay away from this. I won't get political. There's one thing about this crowd. At least you know where they stand. At least you know. They're not hiding anymore. It's out there. Turn on your news. Every media source you can turn on, turn it on. They're right there. They're in bold sight. They're advertising it. That's one thing I can say about that crowd is at least they're not hiding. They're putting it right out in the open just for everybody to see. And they're not, they're not staying hidden anymore. Well, the last crowd is the apathy crowd. And this is the worst of the three crowds. Apathy means total unconcern or that they just don't care. I could care less attitude. And boy, that's a bad crowd to be in. And if we're not careful, we'll get in that one quickly. Because sometimes you just say, well, I don't care. It's not happening to me. As long as it ain't happening to me, I could care less. It's not bothering me. No skin off my back. It's all right with me. What's going on in the country? What's going on in the world? It's not bothering me. It's not affecting me. I'm still doing good. I'm doing okay. Hey, we're doing all right at Green Pond, aren't we? Look at us. We're here. We're worshiping. Nobody's come in and threatened us yet. Oh, it's okay. That's a bad crowd to be in. Is that apathy crowd? No matter what's going on, they don't care in the least bit. This group is the ones who write the least popular self-help books, like like this. I see if you get these. I don't know if you'll. I think you will. You're not from Kentucky. You'll get them. The self-help books. You ever read any self-help books? Be honest. trying to be better at who you are and what you. And we have a lot of good Christian self-help books. We do. And things. I've been trying for years. I got started a little late, but I've been trying for years to let David Ramsey help me financially. I almost waited too late, but he has some real good insights on how to handle your finances and things. Well, here's some self-help books. These are the groups that are writing those today. Lie, Lie, and Become a Millionaire. Combing, the New Revolutionary Way to Adjust Your Hair. Diet Books, Stop Eating, You Fat Cow. 8 Weeks to a Sweatier You. It's Hopeless by Jack Kevorkian. Boy, them be some books, wouldn't it, to read? Their motto is like the in crowd we hear today that say, whatever. This crowd was just there just to see what was happening. Boy, you see them a lot. They didn't care either way. They just wanted to see who was dying, who was being crucified. And you know, that same execution stuff came over to our country, came over to America. Back in the Wild West days, they used to have something called hangings. Anybody read any books? Anybody know any history? They used to have hangings. Where did they have hangings at? Right out in the town square. They took them right up. Jesus was on a hill. Jesus was up high. Jesus was at Calvary. He was at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. They took him out in public. They took him out there to execute him. And guess what? The crowds were so big that day that they had to squeeze in. The crowds had gathered. Well, guess what they used to do in the old days at hangings? The crowds would come, wouldn't they? Why did a lot of them come to a hanging? I want to see this. I'd like to see this. And that's this kind of crowd. They just come to show up. They just came along for the ride and to see someone else die. They didn't care who was dying or how many were dying. They just wanted to watch. And they're the ones who bring the interstate. When you're driving down I-4 and all of a sudden them brake lights come on, you know that either there's a patrolman sitting over here on the side of the road or there is an accident. And I mean, the accident is not out on the highway. The accident's over in the middle of the media or on the other side of the road. But they slow down and stop to see what's going on. They just stop. Now, they're not going to get out and help. They're not going to get out and help. But they sure want to slow down and see, well, who got hurt? Well, boy, look at that mess. Oh, my goodness, what in the world? That poor soul. Oh, I sure hope nobody was hurt there or killed. Oh, look at that. My goodness. And just keep right on going. Well, we have this crowd with us today. They drive by our houses of worship. They never bat an eye in its direction. If they do look this way, it's to say, well, that's nice. That's nice. But they never come to the services. They never read their Bibles. They never study God's Word. They are totally unconcerned. They just don't care. It's nice the church is here. Yes, it's nice. I'm glad. We're going to do a community project this evening. 6 o'clock, we're doing a community thing. And we believe in the community. And we believe in helping. We cannot, listen to me folks, different sermon, but still okay. We are not to be here as an island. We're here as the Church of Jesus Christ. And we are here to let our light shine. And that means that light had better shine right across that street. And it better shine all out in the swamp in this area. And if it needs to, let it shine to Polk City. Anybody in Polk City? Let it shine to Polk City. If it needs to, let it shine to Clearmont. Anybody from Clearmont? If it needs to, let it shine to Lakeland. Surely to goodness, we ain't got nobody in here from Lakeland. If it needs to, let it shine to Bartow. We ain't got nobody in Bartow. We do. Just let it shine. And they need to know. I'm back again. Hello, I'm back. They need to know that Green Pond is here. And it's more than just a building and more than just our in-house worship, that we're here to reach out to the community, to the state, to the nation, to the world. It won't matter. He'll go right back off. It's fine. Don't bother. See, there I'm back. That don't even have nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with it. It's up top. Okay. The sympathetic, the anti, the crowd of apathy are the three crowds that are always present. And I can see these crowds at the foot of the cross where Jesus is. As Jesus hung there, then we know that these people were there. And we got to realize today, are we one of those crowds? Are we in one of those crowds? Change the company you keep. Come to the cross of Jesus today. Find total forgiveness and freedom. I want to share with you a little something here that the SOS ministry uses a lot in our area to win people to Christ. And it's simply called Three. I like three. That's what we're going to be preaching on the next couple weeks, three. The three things at the cross. There's three crosses there, you know, on Calvary. There was three different individuals there on Calvary. All the different crowds and things that were there. There's three things that God cannot do. And you've heard these. Shorty, if I had to quiz you, could you remember those three things? God, you can all remember the first one. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised, Titus 1:2, we have hope in eternal life because God cannot lie. Number two, God cannot change. For I am the Lord and I change not, Malachi 3:6. Now, we do know that God changed his mind at least one time in the Bible. We know that he did that. But God doesn't change. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. If God loves you today, guess what? God loves you tomorrow. If God forgave you of your sins today, guess what he's going to do tomorrow? If God promised you eternal life, guess what? God's going to keep his promise. If Jesus said, I'm coming again, guess what? Jesus is coming again. He doesn't change. The last one, God cannot let anyone into heaven unless they are born again. He can't do it. Except that a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter the kingdom of God. John 3. So those are three things that God cannot do. God loves you. And God sent his son Jesus to Calvary to prove that love to you. I don't know what else we need, folks. I don't know what else. What else could we ever ask of a loving God than to give us his only son? What else could we ever ask of God and say, God, do you care for me? I know we've said it before, haven't we? We've been down and we've been out and we may have cried out to God and said, God, do you really care? God, are you listening? Do you hear me? Do you know what's going on in my life right now? And maybe we've been there. But I want to tell you, God cares. He cared so much that he sent Jesus. And Jesus loved us so much that he came willingly. And he died on that cross. It didn't matter the crowds. Oh, he had the crowds that hated him, rejected him, taunted him, was against him every day. But he still came anyhow. And he still died for us. I don't know what else you need. I can't give you nothing else. I can't promise you anything better than what you got right there. Salvation comes only in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but except by me. You can't get to heaven. We used to sing a song in church camp about you can't get to heaven on roller skates. You'll roll right by those pearly gates. I can't remember the other ones. I should have sung for you this morning. Can't get to heaven, you know, on whatever there is. You can't get to heaven that way, but you can get to heaven through Jesus Christ. Are you going to be in that crowd? Are you going to be in that number when the saints go marching in? Are you going to be a part? I want to be a part of that in crowd. I want to be a part of that group. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together today. And thank you for your word. And thank you that, Lord, you made everything possible for us. Even going against all the odds, going against all the crowds. And it helps us to realize today, yes, Lord, we are indeed like you in some ways, that we're in the minority. We're in that crowd, Father, that group that the world despises, the world hates, the world wants to do away with. And Father, that's okay, because that's what they did to you. But Father, help us to just stand strong. Help us to be the light, just that light that's in a world of darkness. You called us to be light as you were the light. And I pray today that every person here, every individual that's accountability, that's old enough to know and understand, that Father, today would be the day of salvation. Today's the day that we claim you as our Savior. This is the day that we come to Calvary and bow at the cross and accept you as Savior. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it challenges us. Thank you that it steals our hearts. That, Lord, we see your great love for us. We love you, and we want to do our best for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Room at the cross for you.
I don't think you have the words to this, so, but you remember. Would you like to stand with us?
The in crowd that I'm in with Jesus is there's room for another one. There's room for others. There's room for more. So go out there, encourage, invite, witness. Just do your part every day to win somebody, influence them for the Lord. Thank you for coming this morning. May the Lord bless you and give you a good day. We'll get a little bit back to something that feels normal today. We're going to be back here at 6 o'clock, or just a little bit before. And you come. And thank you, Brother Paul, for he brought us about 120 chocolate bars to give out tonight. So we appreciate him and his company and things. The world's greatest or best or finest. There you go. Hey, that's a say. That's one of those descriptive words, isn't it? The world's finest chocolate. So we appreciate that. He's always good to help us.
Hopefully this week I'll be getting the chocolate bars.
company is going to that. That's wonderful. Very good. Not better way to reach a man's heart than his stomach with a little chocolate, right? try to get a little chocolate. Huh? Brother Shorty, you want to dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercies. We thank you for this opportunity that's been ours to come into your house and to worship you. We just thank you, Father, that even all the problem, the pandemic, and the troubles that we are going through, Lord, we know even that has us a tendency to draw close to you, Lord, and we thank you. Where else could we go but to you? We thank you, Father, that you provide that peace that passes understanding, Lord, and help us, Lord, to look to you, Father. We lift up those, Father, who are troubled and who are going through all the problems and difficulties. Thank you, Father, that you never leave us nor forsake us. We trust, Lord, you might comfort their hearts, be with those on our prayer list. And those, again, thank you for this service. We pray, Father, for our pastor. We thank you, Father, for the good message, Lord, that we've heard. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the great price that you paid for our sin because of our sinfulness, that we might have eternal life, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that never leave us. And we thank you for that great comfort through your Holy Spirit. Again, Father, we ask, Father, that you would be with each one that is here this day, Father, and those that might return tonight, Father, for the preparation of the kids going back to school. We just ask, Lord, you'd be with those as they do go back to the classroom and however they attend school. Thank you for Miss Sharon and coming and helping us out today. And for anyone else that might be visiting with us, Lord, we thank you for them, for being near us and hearing us, Lord, and caring about us. We thank you, and we ask this in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.
Oh, maybe we did.